Chapter 10. It seemed like an eternity that Coradie, Ulysses, Penny, and I crouched in the basement listening to the wind roar overhead. At last, the noise stopped, leaving an unnatural silence in its wake. "I'm going to peek out," I said. Coradie shivered. "Be careful, Miss Ned. I'll come with you." She grasped the hem of my sweater. I grinned at her. "Coradie, if a tornado sneaks through a window and grabs me, I don't think you'll be able to hold me down with my sweater. It stretches." She giggled, the silliness of my remark breaking the tension of the last few minutes. Together we climbed the basement stairs. I opened the door and peeked out. An eerie kind of half-light met my eyes. After the clamor of the storm, everything seemed unnaturally calm. No rain, no wind or thunder. Dreading what I might see, I walked slowly to the kitchen window and peered into my yard, Coradie following close behind. A few broken tree branches lay on the ground, but the carriage house and Miss Anne's house beyond the row of pines looked unscathed by the storm. "Thank the Lord," Coradie breathed, sinking down onto a kitchen chair. "Yes, thank the Lord," I agreed. "Are you all right? How about a cup of hot tea?" She smiled. "Sounds perfect. Sure, I feel great now that I know we're alive. I'm anxious about Gerald. If he doesn't call in a minute, I'll text him. I'll walk back to the carriage house as soon as I know he's okay." "You'll do no such thing," I told her. "You should put your feet up and rest here for a bit. First, though, we'll have that tea. Try not to worry. The police station has a basement. I'm sure Gerald and Cade took shelter. I'll call Miss Anne and make sure she's all right." Miss Anne answered her phone on the first ring. She was as relieved to hear my voice as I was hers. She assured me she was fine. Coradie and I were sipping our hot tea when Cade and Gerald arrived. I hadn't even thought to lock my front door when we made our frantic scramble to safety. Cade had a key, but he often forgot to have it with him. I got up to put on the coffee pot. To my knowledge, neither Cade nor Gerald had ever tried a cup of hot tea. Gerald pulled Coradie to her feet and hugged her. Cade put his arms around me, then took the coffee pot out of my hands. "I'll do that," he said. "You sit down and relax." "Are you feeling all right?" Gerald asked his wife. Coradie laughed. "My husband is worse than an old mother hen. Yes, I'm fine. I'm just glad we're all safe." "I heard a terrific roar," I said, sinking down onto a chair and drawing a deep breath. "Did a tornado pass overhead?" Cade nodded. "We were lucky it didn't touch down. However, the storm carried a whole lot of rain. The low water bridges are flooding. As soon as Gerald and I drink this coffee, we're going out to check every place where the water might be dangerous and make sure barricades are going up." "Cade, what do you think about the woman at Miss Evangeline's funeral? Who was she? And who could she have been accusing?" Gerald answered, "That was Lila Mae Fletcher, Miss Carver's housekeeper. My pal Jimmy Norton knows her. She has a reputation for being a little, eccentric." "I don't know who she was accusing," Cade said. "I plan to get in touch with her shortly. I need to know who she had in mind and why she feels that way." "Miss Evangeline certainly had a funeral nobody will forget," Gerald said. I nodded. "You're right, and I hope she knows about it." Cade got down cups and poured coffee for Gerald and himself. We sipped tea and coffee in silence. I relished the feeling of relief now that the storm was over. After the tension, I felt drained of all energy, and the hot drink was relaxing. Cade cleared his throat. "Before Gerald and I leave, there's something you, Coradie, and you too, Ned, need to know. Coradie, your uncle, Mo Decker, has escaped from prison. It's entirely possible he could come back to this area and contact you." Coradie's face flushed. "Surely you don't think he could have killed Miss Evangeline, do you?" Shaking his head, Cade said, "No, I don't. That's just not his style. Mo Decker is a lot of things, but I don't think he's a murderer. And you, Ned, I don't think he has any particular love for you. To his way of thinking, you are the one who put him and his brother Vermouth in jail. Pity for Coradie vied with plain old fright. Mo Decker was a nasty, mean man, as were all the Deckers, with the exception of Coradie. Coradie wiped her eyes. "Oh, Miss Ned, I'm so sorry." I smiled at her. "Don't worry, Coradie. I'm sure he has other things on his mind besides making trouble for me. And surely, since you are married to a policeman, he won't try to contact you." Cade finished his coffee and stood up. "Time to go," he said to Gerald. Gerald rose and helped Coradie to her feet. "We'll drop you off at home," he said. I stood on tiptoe to kiss Cade's cheek. "Be careful. Hopefully everyone in town is safe. I'll call Pat and Jackie just to make sure they are all right." "I've already called Mom," Gerald said. "She's fine. And she said Miss Jackie and Ron are too." After they had left, I checked all my doors to be certain they were locked. Mo Decker would not cause me to live in fear, but it would be foolish not to realize he was a dangerous man.